You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's everyone's favorite tournament of the year. The golfers are in Augusta, Georgia to compete for the coveted jacket. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you in the center of the action by giving you a shot to land in the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you a free shot at the $1 million top prize when you download and sign up using promo code THPN. If you haven't tried DraftKings, this is the time. It's easy to play. Pick six golfers, stay under the salary cap, and submit your lineup before the tournament tees off early Thursday morning. Then sit back and follow the action. The more red numbers they have on the leaderboard, the closer you'll be to winning some green. Rack up points for pars, birdies, finishing position, and more. Even though you may not be able to hit the course with the pros, DraftKings is giving you the chance to scratch your competitive itch and reign supreme. Download the DraftKings app now and use code THPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at the $1 million top prize. That's code THPN, and you can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize. Only at DraftKings. Remember, folks, that is code THPN. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Oh, we're live. Nice. What's going on, Eastern Division hockey fan? We've got the meeting of the minds here, except for the old guy in the middle and bottom. Going to talk here about the Eastern Division here, the Mass Mutual Division, on the Hockey Podcast Network. So I'll start it off as the intro. I'm the hockey troll, and I'm going to represent the Washington Capitals here. TJ, why don't you go next?
Welcome. All the Islander fans out there, fans and listeners to the Islanders Never Say Die podcast. It's yours truly, TJ, and the grumpy old man. They say there's no shame in his game because he's always the same grump.
That's me.
And I know this is a little different than the content we usually offer here. Please keep the comments respectful. I know Islander fans, we could go ahead and get a little feisty, killing it in the division this season, but we have a meeting of the like-minded Eastern Division rivals. We're duking it out here today and tonight, and I think some of the Islander fans will enjoy this.
Stop talking. He all he wanted you to do is introduce yourself and then move on to the next person. That's all he wanted you to do.
That Grump is as he always is.
Stop monologuing. Next.
Neil, man, hit us Neil. Off.
Woo! What is going on, everybody? It is your host, Neil Villapiano of the Devils State of Mind podcast, talking all things New Jersey Devils.
Awesome. See, that's TJ. That's exactly what we wanted.
To let the fans know what's going on. They don't. This is not what they're usually tuned into.
Look, I know that they're Islanders fans, but they're not
that
dumb.
Tell us what you're
right?
about, Nick. Shut up, TJ. Go, Nick.
Yeah, as Grumpy Old Man introduces me, I'm Nick Hoare from the Tip of the Iceberg podcast from the Pittsburgh Penguins, as you can tell by this gracious background I have. I'm not as, charismatic as the other two intros I just had, but hey, I'm here. It's a nice day. I'm going to call this the Council of the East Division right now.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Nick, yeah. We love you anyway, okay? And we're going to get into your wall of shame anyway. And then let's go to Taylor. Taylor, here's the thing, people. Taylor's from Buffalo. I'm just going to tell you right now. So be nice to him. Go, Taylor. Tell us all about yourself. I want to know everything about you your whole life.
All right. Hey, I'm Taylor. I'm from Straight Up Sabres. I also I probably have the lowest energy intro here because I've been beaten down by the Buffalo Sabres for the past decade and especially this year. So hello to everyone.
I would expect you to be more resilient to have that beat down year after year after year. I feel like you have to have something that helps you overcome it, no?
You know, just like human survival instinct, I guess. But like not much more than that.
Well, I think that's a good place to start, though. Let's talk about the Sabres first, because I know Taylor's on a little bit of a time crunch and the rest of us have no lives. So, you know, what? Tell us how are you holding up, first of all, and you know, what's on the horizon?
Well, this week has been, I guess, a little bit of a turnaround since they're on weirdly a four-game point streak, quote-unquote. I mean, some people would say they lost two of those games in overtime, and those are losses, but they did get a point for all four games. But really, it's been a disappointing year, and I would think at this point, like, it's really hard to disappoint Sabres fans, especially ones that try to be realistic. But this season, I would not have expected half the team to get COVID, them to lose 18 straight games, Jack Eichel to basically be injured the entire year, Taylor Hall to have two goals through 30 games, Jeff Skinner to have three goals, Allmark to be hurt as long as he was. Like, this, it's just been like a stunningly bad year in so many different ways. And I mean, the trade deadline is basically what's on the horizon. I think that could kind of set the tone for what they do this offseason and the next couple of years to come.
Taylor, I've got a follow-up question. Oh. Speaking of the trade deadline, you know what, Grump? Give me a sec. Speaking of the trade deadline, Taylor Hall, very highly coveted, you know, trade there to move an asset for a team to acquire. Islander fans, not very thrilled about the opportunity there for Taylor Hall. You know, you get mixed signals there. Tell me what you've seen out of Taylor Hall there, albeit in a limited sample size on the miserable Sabres this season.
Well, I thought for the first month or so of the season – he was really good. I mean, he wasn't finishing. Like, it felt like he was a little unlucky. Like, he kind of some easy shots just right now in front of the net that he missed, some wide open nets. And he seemed like he was doing really well as a playmaker. And he was doing well playing with Eichel, even though Eichel, like I said, was playing injured the entire time. I haven't liked this game for the past month or so, or maybe more. I think when Eichel went down, he didn't really step up in any way. Like, he has two goals. One of those goals was the first goal of the season for the team. He scored in the first period. So he's one goal since the first period of the season. And I know he's shooting 2%. He won't shoot 2% forever. But like at some point, you do have to put the puck in the net. And he has a decent amount of assists, but that's really slowed down. I think his playmaking has been worse. I don't think he's playing probably as hard. I'm sure a lot of guys have given up. And he leaves a lot to be desired in his own zone. So that being said, though, he is still like the talent is apparent from time to time. And hopefully, I think that could still someone could be interested enough to maybe throw out a decently high pick for this draft, but he's not helping himself scoring two goals.
Well, I never figured that he was a good fit for us, as I've been telling people for quite a while. If you don't play defense and want to subjugate your game, you're not going to fit in the Barry Trotz system. But now I have a future question and also a past question for Buffalo. You know, Ralph Kruger was your coach for a while. And, you know, the last job that he had was he was coaching soccer over in England. Now, what's the transition for Buffalo been like since they've gotten away from the 4-4-2 system that Ralph ran?
Yeah, it's gone well. Like, to be honest, though, they do look better post him getting fired. Like, it was a little bit rough right around when he got fired just because Don Granato, who took over as the interim coach, got exposed to COVID, so he had to miss some games. Kevin Adams had to coach. But these past five games, they've looked better. And I think there is like kind of there was a stubbornness to Ralph that I think they're doing well without. And I think that Granato does not have that same level of just assuredness that he's right after 100 games or so of evidence to the contrary. And I would note that a lot of Sabres fans, a lot of American sports fans in general, don't really like watch soccer or watch the EPL. So I knew coming in that he actually was really bad at his job over there as well, which is kind of a concern. The team that he was the president of, like, almost got relegated. They got significantly worse under him, and he pretty much had to leave. And obviously the Sabres got significantly worse under him, and he wasn't a very good coach for the Oilers either.
What team did here's the thing. Seriously, now Kevin Adams gets to you know, put in his own guy. I'm sure they're going to be looking for somebody in the offseason. He gets to put in his own guy. You knew it wasn't going to work out. Anytime you bring in a GM, the coach usually has to go. And Ralph certainly greased his own skids with that losing streak. So, bye, Ralph.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it's going to be interesting. Like, technically, the coaching search is ongoing right now. There's been a lot of names thrown on. Bruce Boudreau, obviously, has kind of said he was interested in coaching. Nate Lehman from Providence is another name a lot of people have talked about. I'm not really sure what they're going to do. I think they're probably going to wait till the season's over, though, to announce it or even really start interviewing people. I'm not really sure.
Neil, did you have a question?
Well, one good thing I have to say is we have no representatives from the New York Rangers. I honestly think they're too scared. Them or Philadelphia Flyers. They were way too scared to come on this podcast.
I tried to get Andy in. I swear to God. But he didn't. He's been working. You know, he's got a job, a life. You know, like I said, we don't. Neil, did you have a question for Taylor here?
Yeah, I was just trying to remember, like, what team did Kruger, like, work for in the EPL?
He was the president of Southampton.
That's what I thought. Yeah, see, yeah. This is the thing. Like, I remember they made a documentary on Southampton, like, I think, like, a year or two ago. And, like, whatever Ralph Kruger did there just made everybody that much more miserable. So, like, when Kruger came over to Buffalo, I knew the name already because I watched the EPL. So I was like, so you're taking a soccer coach or soccer manager, if you want to put it in those terms, and you're making him an NHL coach. I mean, he does have experience, but it was with Edmonton. So just kind of like this thing where it's like, well, he wasn't doing well in one sport. What makes you think that he's going to all of a sudden be good as other sport? But I will say this, Taylor, I'm going to throw a name out there that you might not agree with. But I'm looking at somebody like John Hines, who right now is in Nashville. I feel like it's iffy on, you know, whether they want to keep him. I hope to God that they do, because I'm enjoying it being a, you know, a sufferer of John Hines for like 5 years. I don't want that to happen to you, Taylor. Really don't, because you'll hate John Hines after just one game or one period, depending on what he does. But I think that that's a name that you should also keep in mind and watch to see what happens with Nashville, depending on how they finish the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's someone I'm very much not interested in. But that sounds like something I don't know. I mean, I really don't have that much faith in them hiring a coach. But I would hope. I know there's a ton of retreads in hockey. Like, guys just get hired over and over and over again. But like, I would hope he'd have to take like at least 1 year off or 1 year as an assistant after getting fired a second time in the short of a time period. But you never know, honestly. I mean. Right. Yeah,
I've got to address in the comments. We keep getting, TJ, where's the rest of your shirt? Why are you not wearing a shirt? Grump, I know you don't look at any of the comments. But you're going to have to trust me. It's the regular cast and crew. They're asking me. They're berating me for my lack of professionalism when I dress here on a podcast.
Well, they're mentioning your lack of hair also.
Yes, they are, Grumpy. They're saying it's a little bright. It's a little shiny. They could see the skull cap right through it. So, yeah, we're getting all the comments that are usual. I'm reading them, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't just get done cutting the lawn. We went for a nice evening stroll. The wonderful page and myself.
That's why he's so sweaty.
Yes.
That's why he's sweaty. Here's the thing. TJ figured he wanted to look more professional. Let's set the camera up high. So as soon as he did that, he exposed his chrome dominus. And, well, you know what? The fans have been going wild ever since. You know, it is what it is.
Hey, if we can ever get on a road game.
Why am I wearing a hat today, right? Because I got AJ Molesko hair. It's like all over the freaking place. I mean, you know, I look at Neil for the Devils. I mean, what's the girl who does your thing? What's her name? The girl who does like your intermission.
Oh, Erica Walker.
Yeah, now see, that's what you're supposed to have. Good looking women for those intermission shows. That's
we're going to get canceled. Right. Eastern Division canceled after episode one.
I'm going to let you know. Okay. 12 minutes in.
Okay, tell me. Seriously, you look at anyone, every single one. What's every one of those girls, what do they have in common? They're good looking.
They're super smart, of course, and articulate.
What a clown. Exactly. You know what they have in common. Please.
Anyways, listen, we're talking about hockey here. Taylor, I have to know about it. Are you, I mean, what's an ideal situation for you in Buffalo next year? I mean, do you want them to blow it up or do you want to keep anyone? I mean, Eichel right now could fetch you a lot.
Yeah. So, honestly, the thing I'm having a hard time with is the blowing it up thing. It's been a really long time. It's not just the playoff drought, honestly. Like, the Sabres haven't won a playoff series since 2007. I was in eighth grade. Like, it's been a really long time since there's been that much to look forward to. Like, they made it to the playoffs twice since then. So pretty much, like, even before this playoff drought, from, like, 08 to 2012, it's really disappointing teams. And then, like, since then, from 2013 on, their best two seasons are when they averaged 1 point a game twice, which was last year in 2013. Just bad. Yeah. They were really bad both those years still. So, and they – obviously, they had their tank team. They had the year before the tank team where they – the worst team in the league. They finished last again in 2018, and after 10 years missing the playoffs, I don't know if I could really stomach a rebuild. And the good part of that is, if they're smart about this, they don't really have to do a full rebuild. So you get to the Eichel part you mentioned. Eichel signed for, I think, 5 more years after this. I'm kind of interested in keeping him. That's, I mean, at least seeing how next season goes. Obviously, like, Taylor Hall's a goner. Jeff Skinner's he's stuck here. I'm kind of interested in them re-signing Reinhart to a longer term. Cutting bait with guys, honestly, like, they're probably going to have to eat some money that they don't want to, considering the Pagula's financial situation right now. Like, they're probably going to have to, if they want to compete, get rid of Cody Eakin, eat the last year of his deal, the last 2 years of Oposo's deal, look into signing a goalie, signing or trading for a goalie to tandem with Linus Ullmark, and obviously Carter Hutton will be gone next year. Guys like that. And on top of that, another way of cutting bad weight, trading Brandon Montour and Ristolainen, and at least seeing what you can get for them, and kind of rebooting the defense and seeing, you know, what you can do with Dahlin. Can you salvage Dahlin and kind of make him at least be like 70% of the guy you thought he'd be? Henry Okiharu, who's been better of late, can you get these guys to play better now that they're playing under a different coach? There's some things they could do like that and make a couple signings, I think, that there's no reason they shouldn't be able to compete. Dylan Cousins is a rookie this year. He's been kind of impressive, and he can play center. Reinhart's been playing center this week. So, like, if you can have those two and Eichel down the middle as your top three centers, that should be a good start. So you should be able to get some wingers that want to play with them. But there's a lot they have to do, and frankly, when it comes down to it with the confidence thing, it's not just the guys that have been there forever. It's partially like Kevin Adams has never done this job or anything like approximating this job. So it is kind of hard to have confidence.
Buddy, I love the enthusiasm.
I've got a question for Neil. Kyle Palmieri held out a game. Or held out of practice. I know he was held out there.
He's held Islander out of fans, he was held out of yesterday's game against the Capitals.
Islander fans are vying at the opportunity there to bring in a Kyle Palmieri. People think it's the most likely fit and scenario there for the Islanders this trade deadline. I want to hear what we should expect if Kyle Palmieri gets moved to the New York Islanders. What should they expect there from Kyle Palmieri?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I'm going to follow it up with a question for Taylor. I would say this about Kyle Palmieri. I think that this year he's just dealt with so much. He had COVID. I think having, you know, playing a new system with a new head coach, I think the system that Lindy Ruff has just doesn't fit Kyle Palmieri's game. He struggled to have chemistry with the majority of the guys that we have on the team, considering that most of them are pretty much playing in the NHL for the first time in their careers. And I think at this point, I think Kyle Palmieri is getting kind of tired of the whole rebuild process, because that's what he's basically been in since he got to New Jersey. But I will say this. He is a 25 to 30 goal scorer. That's what he's been since he got to New Jersey. He's the only 30 goal scorer other than Taylor Hall that we've had the last 5 years. This guy is a grinder. He's not a fancy type of goal scorer. He will go to the net. He will be physical. He will also play very good defense. He fits the system that Barry Trotz has to a T. Like, he will play hard. He will do whatever it takes to win hockey games. This is exactly what it was. The only reason why I don't see Palmieri going to the Islanders is simply that, what are the Islanders giving up for Kyle Palmieri? Tom Fitzgerald, our general manager, has a specific idea as to what he wants in a deal. He clearly wants probably a second round pick at the high. I mean, to be honest, he's probably not getting a first. Let's be honest. He's probably not getting a first. He also probably wants a young player or somebody that can jump into the lineup right away. And I was talking about this with Troll before we got on, that it seems like that the reason why the Bruins are considered to be one of the favorites is because they may include Jake DeBrusk. And I say they may. I'm not sure if they will, but they may add him into that as kind of a he needs a change of scenery type of situation. But I will say this. If the Islanders do get Kyle Palmieri, they are getting a guy that will be the perfect, I wouldn't say replacement, but the perfect guy to fill in for Andrews Lee on that top six, a guy that can score, a guy that can, you know, he has a nose for the goal. He is clutch and he is a leader. He really does have some leadership. He's not like the biggest guy when it comes to, you know, pumping his chest or getting guys' faces, but he is a leader both on and off the ice. And the way he plays the game, very much two-way forward, is a perfect, perfect, you know, situation for him if he goes to the Islanders. And my question to Taylor is this. I follow a lot of different content creators, you know, on social media. One of the more well-known ones for a lot of people in sports and also hockey is Urinating Tree. He's on Twitter. He's also on YouTube. A lot of people know
him. He's a fellow Yinzer.
Fellow Yinzer Horvat. He actually just put out a video today talking about the East Division. He kind of gave his whole spiel on that. And he actually said that the Sabres are now the new-aged Cleveland Browns, the factory of sadness type of situation. Do you agree with that? Do you think that's harsh? What is your feeling towards, you know, that type of, you know, statement about your team?
Yeah, I absolutely agree for a few reasons. Like,
agreed. I was hoping you'd say yes.
Obviously, being from Buffalo, I'm also a Bills fan. They recently also had a crazy long playoff drought. But I think Cleveland, who had the same length playoff drought until this year, the Browns had it kind of worse because they were always, like, stunningly bad. Like, the Bills are, like, classic 7-9 all the time. The Browns were 4-12, like, every year. They averaged being 4-12 for the entire decade of the 2010s. Like, and that kind of feels like what the Sabres are doing in hockey. Feels like they're going 4-12 every year. It's gone bad in a lot of ways. And in these past 2 years, especially with different things, probably things that are bigger deal locally than nationally, it's just been kind of like embarrassing story after embarrassing story. Like their 50th anniversary season last year wasn't their 50th season and it wasn't their 50th anniversary. I know the Canucks did the same thing, but that was ridiculous. Then they had every step of the way was an embarrassment. They had misspelled names on jerseys. They misspelled Dave Anderchuk and Mike Robitaille's names. They got just outclassed by Vancouver every step of the way in the 50th anniversary thing. And then a million other things, the financial problems, the franchise is basically being stripped for parts. So many things like that to go along with the fact that it seems like no matter what they do, they aren't getting any better. Like they've now had, I think Granato might be their eighth coach since 2013 or seventh coach. Ooh. Like, and it's a good way to put it. Factory of sadness. Yeah.
Is that sort of,
Stop, Nick. 1 second. We've been on, I'm just going to tell you something fundamentally wrong with this podcast.
Nick hasn't said fucking thing. All we've been podcast. Doing this for
21 minutes and grumpy. All we're talking about is the 8-win Buffalo Sabres.
Okay. Thank you, Grum.
No offense, Taylor. That's fair. You should get about 23 seconds worth of time to talk. That's it.
We're just trying to be nice.
I mean,
here,
the Devils, Neil, come on. Forget it. The Devils.
Well, I had a question
for you. Okay. The Devils suck. Nick, I don't know. You're living in your mom's house. I can just tell by the way your wall is set up. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, I love the jerseys. Great. TJ, you got your own issues that everyone knows. And Hockey Troll's just back over there just kicking back, drinking alcohol and beverages. I mean, that's what he does. He's good at it, okay? He knows how to drink.
I know my
niche.
I had
a question for you, Grump.
Go ahead.
Now, you heard Neil, and I wanted to piggyback off of this.
I wasn't listening to anything he was saying. Is it from the Devils?
He was specifically talking about Kyle Palmieri. He said he would expect a second-round pick and a prospect.
I do.
How likely do you think that the situation of a second-round pick possibly in Kiefer Bellows is being thrown out there as a possibility?
Yes. Well, since Kiefer Bellows is never going to play for us, regardless of how much he shows, move him. There's nothing wrong with that. Second-round pick, move him. Kyle Palmieri, he's a rental. The only thing I don't want to give up for rental is first-round pick. I don't believe in it. The only way I give a first round pick is someone who's going to be with the team long term. But for a rental, I'm willing to give a. But here's the thing. They ask, what's the appeal of Kyle Palmieri? Well, to Lou Lamoriello, he's over 30 years old.
Okay? He's 29.
And he plays defense. So that's what they look for.
Oh, and mind you, before Lamoriello left the Devils as general manager, he made a trade to acquire Kyle Palmieri. So that's another thing to keep in mind.
He's the one guy I really don't want. Just I don't know. I don't like his name, or he came from the Devils. I don't care how good a hockey player is. I've never liked him. And for whatever reason, that's just to me. It's a bias I have against Kyle Palmieri.
I think we need to redirect some attention there to Hockey Troll and start hating a little bit on Hockey Troll. I want him to defend Tom Wilson.
Fuck that guy. Because you know he will. You know he will until the day
he does. He will. He calls him St. Tom Wilson.
Yeah, and that's the wildest thing.
St. Thomas is one of the best hockey players to have graced the NHL in the past decade. He's one of the most gifted body checkers that I've ever seen. When he was 18, 19 years old, he was out there running, you know, vaunted legends in the league, just absolutely obliterating them. It was inspiring to see. And now he's a top line scoring wing. So I would say that he's probably up there in playmaking ability with Sidney Crosby. It's just he's not a whiny little bitch. As has been verified by multiple sources, I've never been wrong. So
I'm going to say anyone who talks shit about Tom Wilson, tell me you wouldn't want him on your team though.
Oh, 100%.
See, that's the whole thing. Would you 100%. Take Tom Wilson on your team? I would.
Yes.
I absolutely would. Here's the thing: is he super talented? No, but I'll tell you what: when he's on the ice, nobody messes with Ovechkin. Nobody messes with Backstrom. Nobody messes with those guys. Ovechkin
doesn't need to be protected, though. He does things his own. He hits people his own way.
Maybe Wilson's rubbed off on him.
Yeah, really hard. That's his own way. He hits them really hard. And then people just get exploded. And then they're like, oh, well, he died because he got hit really hard. A lot of his –
Severson and probably killed him. I actually thought when he hit Severson, I think on Friday, I thought he died. Like, I actually thought he died.
Exactly. I mean,
is Brennan Carlo still in the hospital or is he finally out? There was that
Carlo's
one that he was
back
in for a
playing.
While.
Carlo's in the lineup. All right. Fair enough. And look, his last suspension, and I'm not saying Carlo took a dive like your boy Sidney. But I am saying that it was an unfortunate hit, right? Like he follows through, hits the guy in the head goes against the boards. It's a violent hit. But, you know, does everyone jump on his shit if Carlo doesn't grab his head and fall down and then get carted off the ice? I mean, I think that if Carlo just gets up and starts playing again, you know, which he couldn't because he was injured, and I completely get that. But the NHL has made this, this precedent now of calling based on the outcome of hits and on reputation. I mean, they made it very clear in their statement to the league that we did this because it's Tom Wilson and because he hurt somebody again.
That's when 100%. Is he finally going to wake up? When is he finally going to wake up and say, you know what? I can't really launch myself and aim towards the head right here. Obviously different with Connor McDavid, but man, oh man. Certain players could always get away with it. But like a hit like that, if Tom Wilson were to make a hit like that, like Connor McDavid did just recently, man, I think that might be a 20-game suspension for Tom Wilson. He has to know he can't play that style. He can't play where he's launching at the head anymore, especially when he's got a target on his back. My question is, when is he finally going to involve his game? It's not like he's a kid anymore. He's 26. What is he, 26 years old?
Yeah.
Come on,
yeah.
man. You're a professional. You're a true professional. Come on.
I think that his point totals.
Hold on, Jeremy. I can't believe I'm going to actually speak up for your guy. Here's the thing. That is what makes him a success. That's what makes him a success. You want to take away the thing that he does that makes him a success in the NHL. You want to take away. Then you know what you got? You got Ross Johnson. That's what you have. You get a guy who's neutered, who won't be able to do anything. That's his style.
Throw the body. Just don't hit the head.
Hey,
I have no problem at all with you taking a cheap run occasionally the body. Don't aim towards the head.
But what is hitting the head anymore? Like, I mean, it's – well, first it was primary point of contact, main point of contact. All of these are such subjective terms. What the NHL needs to do, and I would, if this happened, I would totally vilify Tom Wilson if he hit somebody in the head. They need to completely say any contact to the head is illegal. It's 2 minutes if you make contact to the head, much like a high stick with any part of your body, because the whole, hockey is predicated, and I think that penalty calling is predicated on being in complete control of your body at all times. So if you're gonna go down this path, you're gonna have to say, look, no one can hit in the head, or you're just gonna get these, you know, ridiculous suspensions handed out because Tom Wilson is a gifted skater and an absolute man rocket beast of a human being specimen. And he's putting up like what, 20 goals, dude? 20 goals, 30 points. The guy's scoring 50 points. I mean, what do you want here? And they're hardworking goals.
I have a solution to all these issues with Tom Wilson. Allow guys to hit people in the head.
Oh, shit.
You play hockey. Physicality is part of the game. You get hit in the head. You're getting paid a lot of money. You pay the price. That's the way it should be. Physicality to the max. You want to know who'd suffer? You got guys like Cindy Crosby.
There we go.
Oh, God.
You know, you can't breathe. And here's the thing. I like Nick because he looks a lot like one of my nephews. So I can't really say too many mean things about him. I can't. I want to. What? I want to pick on his silly little white cap. But I'm not. I'm not going to do that. I like him. He's a nice young man. So I really can't pick on him. But you know, like I said, more physicality, more aggressiveness. Take the helmets off. Headshots legal. I'm totally fine with that.
Okay.
84 old time hockey.
Can we
put it on the foil?
Can we petition for Grump to be the next commissioner of the National Hockey League?
I'm going to tell you what. You want to see people come back and watch it? We're losing fans because the game's too tough, too much fighting. People love that. I'm going to say it again. I've said it 100 times before. When there's a hockey fight, you see people sitting on their hands, or do you see them sitting on their hands when it's 1-0 and they're doing little figure skating routines out there?
I will say that, you know, when a team scores in an NHL game or any hockey game, you know what, half – 75-85% of the fans stand up, but when there is a fight, 100% of the fans, everybody in the crowd standing.
Yep.
That's for sure.
Yep.
I mean, I remember when Jeremy went to Burger King and somebody tried to take his burger. It was an all-out brawl going on there. I mean, don't take the hockey troll's double stacker sandwich. Just don't do it.
Troll, you a Burger King guy? Is that what we just found out?
No.
You don't need anything.
I'm not really picky. Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I'm not prejudiced against any sort of food, especially fast food.
Rolled potatoes and government cheese. This guy over here.
What is government cheese? Wait, I don't even know what that is. Is that what is really, that something from the 1920s?
That's what happened when I got a bunch of 15-year-olds on on every single podcast. Yeah. But see, that's what happens when I'm dealing with a bunch of 15-year-olds. You don't even know what government cheese is.
Take us back to 1910. Back to 1910 when everybody's doing the Charleston and the mashed potato. Is that a dance? Those are dances, right?
The mashed potato was like in the 50s, okay? The Charleston was like in the 20s. Well, you've been alive for it all.
He's been alive for it all.
Oh, my gosh. Like I said, I got to educate. I'm an educator, people. That's what I'm here for.
You see, you learn stuff on these podcasts.
You watch the Islanders Never Say Die podcast, and I guarantee you're going to learn something twice a week, every single time. Every single time.
Shameless plug.
Is government cheese just those, like, plastic wrapped ones from Kraft?
No. Not the ones you get from Kraft. That's from Kraft. Okay. You used to get like a block of cheese.
Okay.
And it was American cheese, but not cut. You'd have to cut it yourself with some type of, you know, I don't know. Nice.
I mean, here's the second picture that comes up. It is Ronald Reagan holding
the There you go. Statement. There you go, right?
So, what the hell is that?
I voted for Ronald Reagan.
I don't think most of us were born for that.
You weren't. You probably had to. Who was Ronald Reagan? What? Who's this guy? Is he selling cheese? What is this guy? No, he used to be president of the United States.
Okay. Anyways, Jesus Christ. Are we going to talk about the Penguins or are we going to talk about the Islanders next? I mean,
let's talk about the Penguins. I want to hear Nick say something.
Oh, of course. Hell yeah. Of course. Yeah. All right. Let's get it in.
We just want to piss off Troll. That's what we want to do.
Right. Yeah, no, so go ahead.
We can do that by hyping up the Penguins for the next 10-20 minutes. And
can we talk about Crosby supposedly getting sticked in the face against the Bruins? Supposedly.
Hold on. Let's let Nick give the synopsis of how the Penguins are going to slowly but surely exit the playoff contention here. But tell us about it. 50 points. 50 points, and that's good for third in the division. They're overperforming, Nick. Are they or are they?
It's weird to say, but I mean, with the amount of injuries that we have had, these you know, fourth liners, minor leaguers, taxi squad guys, they're definitely overperforming from an NHL standpoint. But all of our guys are getting healthy. I believe Teddy Bluger skated today. Tanev got put back on the IR, but we'll leave that one alone. So it's seeing our guys get healthy again. Malkin should be back soon. Kapanen should be back soon. And if everyone is able to come back and play at the top of their game, we should have more than 50 points. And, I mean, at one point, not that long ago, it was just a couple days, it was the Penguins, Islanders, and Capitals all had 50 points. It was a three-way tie for the division lead, and I don't know how the hell the Penguins are doing it, honestly. We've had a laundry list of injuries, and that is like the main topic of discussion in every story I write and every episode we do on the podcast. So how we're doing it, we don't know. We're figuring it out. Is Mike Sullivan's next man up mentality, and we've been riding that since our cup wins. Yeah, I know that's an old narrative, but it's still one that we have to follow considering the injury troubles we have had for a long time now. It's been years. So everyone's getting healthy, though. So if everyone's still playing good, look out because we're coming right up. If these bad – not bad players, but if these young guys, these taxi squad guys are proving themselves, then it's something to be spoken of.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, all kidding aside, and that's everyone who listens to our podcast knows I talk trash, but I speak the truth also. I'm scared of Pittsburgh. For a team that's injured to be performing the way that they're performing, and they have the easiest schedule down the stretch out of the Islanders and the Capitals, they give us problems because they're aggressive on the forecheck. Teams like that who can skate and aggressive on forecheck give us problems. Why Washington gives us problems. Washington, since they got a coach this year and they got rid of Reardon, are infinitely better than they were. I was really surprised we beat them earlier last week because I think they're a matchup nightmare for us also. But, you know, just speaking to Knicks, I'm scared when they get Kapanen back and when they get Malkin back. I think they're going to be a handful. I really do.
It really should be, especially, like I said, if everyone is clicking, because Kapanen and Malkin especially were really building a chemistry that was quite impressive because we picked up Kapanen and thinking he'll play on Crosby's line. Well, then he had some visa issues in getting over from Finland to start the season. Well, he got here. We were a couple games in, so Sullivan put him on the fourth line, and he was producing on the fourth line. Kapanen's a guy that we were able to slowly move up the line and up the lineup, and he was producing everywhere he went. He stopped on the second line with Malkin, and those two just clicked immediately. So I don't think he's played that much with Crosby. If it has, it's been like two or three shifts. But, I mean, him and Malkin just – it's Malkin always gets the guys that we bring in thinking he's going to play with Crosby. We saw it with Kessel. Now we're seeing it with Kapanen. And we bring these guys in to go with Crosby, and Malkin takes them.
Crosby has the ability to make average players better. He's one of those type players.
It's the Mark Donk meme,
You might bring somebody in thinking he's a fit, but he doesn't need that. Look what he's done for Brian Rust's career, right?
Yeah.
Let's be honest, right? And, you know, Malkin's a beneficiary, but to me it speaks more to your depth, your organizational depth, where you can have these type of injuries and your team still produce well.
I wanted to bring it up. You mentioned earlier about that high stick. This is just the context here, so everybody can see it. And we can analyze this in real time about this high stick that brutalized Sidney Crosby.
Oh my God. That was a murder on the ice. It was a murder on the ice. Look at that. Bergeron is such a dirty player.
I don't know if I can cover Sidney's hospital bills on that one. I feel like this is free rage points for everybody out there because everybody can hate this, right?
McCann gets actually
obliterated. I never noticed that one.
Nobody ever talks about, like, hello, like, look at McCann. Ooh. Right in the face. Yeah.
All right. And Tom Wilson's dirty. Tom Wilson's dirty, right?
I will say one thing. I like Pittsburgh's uniforms. I like those third uniforms. I like the white jersey look.
Yeah.
I like that. But it's very plain. Everybody knows that when Sidney Crosby works on, meow, meow, he's a cat person, obviously. Freaking pussy.
trust me, the comments, Islander fans, I just want to remind you, I'm reading all the comments. We're not popping them up there. I'm reading them. If they're really good ones, we'll make sure to pop them up. But I'm laughing. Anytime you see me laughing, it's because I'm reading one of the funny comments you guys are putting there in the thread.
I definitely got a huff of nitrous in the background.
No, I definitely got the comments up and I'm reading some too. So that's half the entertainment here. But I like that the Crosby discussion. I appreciate that that alcohol, that was not a very good look on Crosby. I mean, was it a dive? Probably, but it also resulted in a 4 minute. It was a 4 minute double minor. That's the part that gets me is how can I mean, I don't know how it's that much of a dive when he's still bleeding somehow, some way. I'm not saying it's great, good or bad on either way. I just appreciate it happened literally 48 hours after Dubinsky decided to start some shit.
Grumpy old man. We talk about how wrestling. He was bleeding. He was bleeding because he bladed himself. He had some paper there, and he bladed himself. Come up with a little. Yeah. I do like you have that really hot take. I mean, we're going on a limb saying that's probably not a good look for him. That's really going out there on a limb, Nick. I know you look like my nephew, but come on, do a better take.
Well, Grump, you thought exactly what I was going to say too. I was like, is he like Ric Flair? He goes down.
He's on the floor. WWF style. Like
he can sell. He can sell.
Yeah, Dubinsky's with the whole whining thing. That's. I'll take a whiner and three cups over a great goal scorer and one, so I'll leave it at that for now. And
who is he possibly talking about?
Look, I know.
You know what? And this has sparked, reignited the debate between I think that only, you know, idiots are going to discuss who's the better player, right? Because it's like, well, there are two different positions. I'm not really sure how they're in two different styles at that. So, you know, you're basically talking to a wall. You're never going to be able to have this conversation and then win someone over. I'm never going to win, a Crosby, you know, I guess jihadist, if you will, and over to the good side, the Ovechkin side, and their holy crusade, against Ovechkin. But, you know, I don't think, it's a tough call, but I will say this. Hands down, Ovechkin will go down as the more important player to hockey history in general. For sure.
Wow. You're wrong.
No, I'm not.
Hockey definitely history right. is written in Toronto.
That's a great point. Hockey history
is written in Toronto. It's not written in Russia.
But here's the thing. You can never refute the all-time leading goal scorer in NHL history. What are they going to like rewrite the numbers?
No. Grump and I were talking about this just the other day. Mike Bossy's numbers, if he didn't hurt his back, would be far superior at goal scorer and much more highly regarded than Alexander Ovechkin if his back injury didn't happen. And to think about that, right? An injury derails a guy from being Alexander Ovechkin wouldn't be in the same conversation as Mike Bossy if he was able to stay healthy there in that back.
Yeah, and if I had two wheels, I'd be a fucking bike. I mean, I don't know what you want here. It's not reality. If I was 7 foot tall and could bench 900 pounds, I'd probably be a professional athlete. Unfortunately, I can only bench like, you know, 800. Okay. And I'm not that tall.
Hold on. If you were 9 foot tall and you could bench how much? 700 pounds, but you have no athletic ability. Okay, so you could not have been an athlete.
Just look at Daniel Chara. He's 7 feet tall and isn't that athletic.
I could have at least played like offensive line at any D1 college of my choosing.
No, this is what
right,
you could
have done. Right,
TJ? We need Shane Ryan in here to tell you about offensive line.
You could hold a sign up saying, hey, this is the price of gas. That's about the extent.
Listen.
Oh, my God.
Listen. And I know I'm going to probably catch so much flack, but, you know, I don't give a flying fuck. Ovechkin is by far the most historically important. And here's the thing. When Sidney Crosby makes a play, people are like, wow, that looked fantastic. And by all accounts, it did. It did look fantastic. He did a lot of work. He skated around in circles like 10 times. He dished for a nice open guy. That's great. You know, layup, backdoor. Beautiful skating play, whatever, you know, it's the orchestra. But I don't think people really realize how hard it is for someone to just cross the blue line and send a wrist shot past an NHL goaltender. I mean, it seems so simple and it looks so easy. And that's, you know, I think that's maybe the disconnect between the OV and Crosby. You know, people who are ignorant think that.
Oh, see, like you can convince people TJ, over.
TJ, let me educate Jeremy once again. Okay, the question was greatest hockey player, better hockey player, not goal scorer,
hockey player. That's here's the thing. I don't like Cindy Crosby. I don't like her. I absolutely do not. But if you ask me who's a better all-around hockey player, it's Crosby. Who's a better goal scorer? That's Ovechkin. There's a difference. There's a difference.
See, you're splitting hairs. I don't know.
No, I'm not. The question is hockey player, not goal scorer. If Mike Gossi played 15 years in the league, we wouldn't even – who's – Alexander who? Who? He's got a long way to go to catch Mike Gossi. Did Alexander Ovechkin score 50 goals the first 9 years he was in the league?
50 goals a season? He was shooting on goalies that didn't just smoke cigarettes and drink beer for their preseason.
So the answer is no. It's a yes or no question. Did he? No. Your silence means no. And what's the year that he hurt the back, he only played 69 games. He was in pain the whole year. He still scored 38 goals. So, I mean, please.
I'm not detracting from Mike Bossy's legacy here. But anyways, Taylor had something to say.
Hold on. And here's another thing. When we did one of these last year, you didn't even know who Mike Bossy was.
I knew who Mike Bossy is. What do you mean?
You didn't know. You didn't know last year. I had to call you out.
No, that was Paulie. Paulie on one of our episodes. You're getting senile, old man. No, yeah, I'm remembering.
Grumpy. That was Paulie. It wasn't Hockey Troll. That was Paulie.
Paulie's with him, isn't he? Isn't Paulie with Hockey Troll?
Yeah, but he's not with me.
There you go. Built by association. Thank you very much.
Jesus Christ. What the hell? All right. Taylor, say something. You had something, man.
Yeah, so I was gonna say this. Like honestly, the Ovechkin, I think I can meet you guys halfway. I think Crosby is a better player than Ovechkin, and frankly, I don't even think it's a discussion. And I'm pretty neutral here. I don't like either of the teams. They've kicked our ass for 15 years. Yeah. Don't love either of those guys. But like, Crosby is not even close. As far as the goal scorer thing goes, I would take Ovechkin easily over, not even just anyone in history, but like easily over Bossy for me, just because Ovechkin's led the league more than anyone ever. Bossy is, I would maybe say second, but like, yeah, he had 660 goal seasons, like you said, 950 goal seasons, 570 goals in 10 years, and like, it was a different time though, scoring wise. It's not even close. Like, Ovechkin scored 65 goals in 2008. Like, the next best guy had 50. He has more 50 goal seasons than everyone else in the league combined in the 2000s. Like, there's no comparison to it. I mean, the scoring era sucks, and he just blows everyone away.
Yeah, Grumpy, take a step
into 2000 was within 200 goals of him. No one's within 200 goals.
Okay.
When people make comments like that, hold on, Grump. I got to make a quick comment. When people make comments like these, how the game has changed, for certain has. So is the preparation that these athletes take as well, right? Yeah. Mike Bossy wasn't preparing like athletes prepare currently. So again, maybe if he was in today's game, he would have prepared a little differently. His game would have been better. So again, like, you know, it's an apples to orange comparison, right? The game is completely different. So is the preparation. So is the nuance behind it. So is the film watching. The game has completely evolved. And it's tough to make those generational arguments and tough to make those generational discussions.
Mike Bossy used a freaking wood stick, not some graphite composite. Not everybody used to shoot the puck 100 miles an hour because of the equipment they have. The game has changed absolutely. Okay.
Then why did he dominate his era more than Ovechkin did?
Here's the thing. On our podcast, the question was Ovechkin or Gretzky? And I said, think about how many goals Gretzky, or you're talking about Ovechkin. Gretzky has more assists than anybody else has points. Think about that. Still. I mean, that was the question. Somebody said, well, would you take somebody else or Gretzky? I mean, it was Gretzky. Now, Gretzky never could have played for Barry Trotz. You know, that's a whole other thing. He doesn't play Barry. But I have a question for Neil and the Devils. You ever listen to Ken Danico? Do you think he has CTE? I think it's a yes.
Here we go. Yeah, no, it's become somewhat of a running joke with a lot of Devils fans that, like, we have a drinking game nowadays that every time he says either oh or oh my in a broadcast, you have to take a shot because obviously he says it a lot. I think Danico does suffer a little bit from it considering the type of style that he played back in the day. But he still does a pretty bang-up job as a broadcaster, I would say.
Here's the thing, Grump. You mentioned about CTE, and in the same token, earlier on this podcast, you were joking and making jests of playing with no helmets, which would obviously accelerate that. Grump, no.
Get a new guy. You don't have to give a guy a job.
No, Grump. Yeah, I know you're joking around, grumpy old man, because nobody
Legalize headshots. Stop. Who doesn't want to watch? Who doesn't want to see somebody get knocked in the ice? What about Rollerball? It was a great movie.
It's a movie, not a real thing.
For the Stanley Cup Finals, it's like Battle for the Death.
Oh, my God.
Talk about a war of attrition.
Well, that's the only game that you get, that the Islanders can win anymore. A war of attrition. They're definitely not going to win it on the scoring ability, aside from running up eight on us when you could have done it to the Penguins one or two more in the previous week, man. Where were the, where the hell were
that's,
they?
That's why that's why the Islanders need to get someone like Kyle Palmieri to add to that, to add to the scoring that they lack.
We have Josh Bailey on our team. Isn't that enough? There you go. Okay, that just proves my point. Everyone who says that I bashed Josh Bailey, I mentioned him as a great goal scorer. Everyone laughs at me. That just proves my point. The king of the secondary assists. No, the human sidebar.
Josh Bailey. Josh Bailey is a really good goal scorer in the playoffs. I will say that.
No, like he's not. A what?
A what?
No. He sucks.
He had one good playoffs. I mean, like, shit, we're looking at a tiny, tiny sample size. The amount of times that Josh Bailey has been in the playoffs, let alone the Islanders, since he's been a part of the organization, is infinitesimally small. What has it been, 2 years? 3 years, Rob? 3 years?
Here's the thing.
3 or 4 years.
Not long enough to even be memorable, him in the playoffs. I'm just hoping that the Kraken draft him. The Kraken, the Seattle Kraken, I'd like to see them pick him in the expansion
draft. Oh, the goddamn Kraken, man.
Well, so wait, hold on. What are we looking at from the Islanders via the down the stretch and from the trade deadline? I mean, do you have a shot in hell at taking the top spot from Washington? Because, you know, I think that the first spot in this division, where previous years it wasn't as important, maybe, I think it's incredibly important this year. I want that top spot. I want to watch you and the Penguins duke it out. And then come clean up the mess, hopefully, in the second round, to be completely honest.
Yeah, from my perspective, you know, I listen to when the Islanders media cartel, if you can even call them that, I think there's only have four or five guys who even cover the team, and everything's a lollipop question. But when they start trumpeting how Leo Komarov is a stabilizing influence, they know where he is on the first line. This is a guy that we put on waivers four times this season, and all of a sudden now he's a first liner, and they're saying, like, he's the missing element for that first line when average Anders isn't there. You know, when I see something like that, it tells me that the prices are too high that they're asked for and they're not going to make a trade. That's my thought.
Or I think it's more also taking into account of, hey, don't get too excited. I think you're right to a certain extent, Grump. Honestly, the Islanders, if they want to compete there with the Tampa Bay Lightning and teams of that ilk, which, I mean, they're the best team right now in the league by a country mile, in my opinion, despite what the points say, they really have to address two left wing positions. I mean, like, we got to reignite the best third line in hockey. We got to look for a second line left winger as well as a first line left winger. And I'm afraid, like, the asking price is too much. If the asking price for Kyle Palmieri is a second and then a prospect that might be able to yield you back, I mean, like, Bellows in a second round pick, if you're never going to play in Barry Trotz, he's expendable in that capacity. And a second round pick isn't all that bad for a guy like Kyle Palmieri, which would get Leo Komarov out of the lineup. That's the biggest thing. How long can we consistently roll Leo Komarov out there on the first line and expect that to yield positive results? I mean, like, we've been doing it so far. If we're playing the Tampa Bay Lightning, Islander fans, how do you think a lineup, a first line of Leo Komarov, Matt Barzal, and Jordan Eberle looks out there?
Well, you're just playing it's a two-man line. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, you got a guy skating 20 foot behind. Oh, look at him. He's back in defensive zone. Yeah, but everybody else is in the offensive zone. All right. You want to know why they play him? Because he loses like half his salary in Pinochle to Lou Lamoriello every road trip. That's why he's still playing. He's what, 34 years old. He's from Russia, wherever he's from. His name is
Estonia. He's from Estonia. How many times are you going to go over this, Grum? Estonia.
I don't care.
It's like not Russian. North America. It doesn't count.
Russian. He's a Ruski.
Oh, he's Estonian.
His favorite color is red and yellow.
Okay.
Are you guys second, third? You think
we could still win the division. I think, honestly, though, realistically, probably Pittsburgh. I'm thinking Pittsburgh. I mean, that was losing to Boston right now is bad. Giving up seven goals to Boston, who can't score even strength goals, save their lives,
yeah,
is a bad look.
But they have an easier schedule down the stretch. I mean, I think that matters. And for us and Washington, it's going to come down. How many more head-to-head games do you have? Three or four with Washington? I don't know.
Yeah, I think four, I want to say.
Okay, that's going to determine who's second and third place. It really is. And we're a tough team to beat at home. I will say that. Very.
You think the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to finish their group? I just don't see it. I mean, like, I really don't. They've played well as of recent.
Look, you know my point. How could you say no to him? Don't you kind of rooting for him just because he's pretty?
Oh my God, Grom! Fair enough.
He looks no, just that like way. My nephew. I can't get over it. Oh my
so God. You're telling me there's some in the family? Ooh, you know, Grump, I'm not even gonna hit that. I'm not even gonna hit that point. My thing is this: I think Sorokin has improved. He's continuing to grow in confidence. I really feel like he's going to be an absolute brick wall back there as games continue. I've been more and more impressed with his play. You got Noah Dobson back. I think the Islanders are going to do something to address the gaping hole they have on the first line at the left wing position. And I think if they do that, I think we're looking and sitting much more pretty than we are currently at the moment. The defense, Noah Dobson's still only improving. Defense has been steady all season long. Even though Varlamov has fallen off a little bit, I've been excited about Sorokin. And forward line, as long as we get that first line left wing taken care of, I think we jump an extreme amount up on your level, at least, Grom.
I'm going to say if we get Kyle Palmieri, even though I'm not his biggest fan, I don't know why, I just never liked him. It's me. But he does bring scoring prowess. I think that – and if we play the Barry – for us, it's all about system. Everything's about system. When we play our game to the Barry Trotz system, we're really, really tough to beat. We're not exciting to watch. We're not. But we're a tough team to beat. And only teams that are well-coached can beat us. That's why we beat Washington last year. I think we swept them. Didn't we sweep them?
Yes, we did sweep Washington.
Did we sweep Washington? I mean, I don't even know. It was such a short amount of time we played them in the playoffs. I can't even remember. I think it was like maybe 2 or 3 days. And we beat them so bad that they gave us like double victories. I don't remember what happened exactly. But it was a
blowout. I thought it was five, but you know, hey, I could be wrong.
But who cares? But here's the thing. Todd Reardon was their coach, and it was like me behind the bench. It didn't matter, except with better hair. So, you know, it was just a monument. But now Peter Laviolette is a good coach. I feel he's a good coach. But when we play our system, we're really, really tough to beat. And I think we could beat anybody. Pittsburgh scares me, but mainly because they're so aggressive on that forecheck, and that gives us problems.
Jeremy, let me ask you a question. Why the hell is Garrett Pallon not up there with the Washington Capitals?
Because his dad used to play for the Islanders.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
they're hurting our boy there, Rich Pallant's kid. I don't like that. A friend of the podcast, a visitor there of the podcast, and been on the podcast before. I want to know why Garrett's not up there with the Washington Capitals.
Now, remind me, Garrett is a winger. Is that right? He's a winger.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I think he played center. I think he's listed there as center. I mean, he's performed well there for the Hershey Bears this season.
He's a forward in the, you know, one of the maybe top three in the NHL forward cores for the past 10 years. I mean, how the top six is locked, right? I mean, if the only way that you're going to be able to get into the top six is if somebody, you know, gets hurt, that you're not getting the top six from the farm. We've gotten Verana there, but yep. I think that he's a special case, right? It's too deep, man. I mean, I would hate to come up into Washington in Washington's farm system. There's no room because we are win now. We're going to go to proven NHL talent before we go into, developmental type guys pulling them up. I mean, and you can see that through the taxi squad. I mean, we're constantly juggling here.
The item I was shocked with too is when you guys got hit with the COVID protocol train. He wasn't even considered as a guy that like, hey, maybe we'll go ahead and throw in there Garrett Pallon. I mean, he's played well there. I think he's taken the next step there in the A. And I'm just kind of like, is he ready there for that next step? I mean, what has he got? 16 points there in 14 games. I haven't watched too many Hershey Bear games, but most organizations, that's you're whispering, or at least you're speaking about, hey, maybe this guy deserves a call up.
Yeah, and I understand he's a good two way player too. Unlike maybe his old man. I don't know. When did he?
Whoa! Man was defenseman. He was a defenseman, a defensive defenseman. Don't try to provoke me now.
I literally wouldn't even know. But look, I don't know. I feel bad for these guys all the time. And when we did go into the COVID protocol, it was inspiring to see. And, you know, everybody's got a chip on their shoulder when this happens, right? When big players are out. But I think that it's also, with the Caps especially, like an intense hunger to try to prove yourself, maybe not even to the club that you're with, just to like show, you know, maybe somebody gets a whiff of it out west, wherever, and get you a different pro contract. I mean, I do think that we kind of shelter some talent, but who knows? Everybody's hot on this McMichael kid, and he's lighting it up too. So I don't know.
The three amigos, Grumpy. Go ahead and mention it.
Here we go. You know, the Islanders.
We didn't even have to. I didn't even have to go ahead and elicit you to mention the three amigos. Here we go. We've been getting comments about it there. But go ahead, Grump, because
my friend
it.
The fossil, my friend the fossil, Lou Lamoriello, you know, what's the one thing the team needs, right? We need goal scorer. We need creativity on the offensive end. So who do we draft? We draft Simon, a.k.a. Casper, the ghost, Holmstrom. And I remember, I'm like, oh, my gosh. We got Philip Tomasino. He's the guy I wanted. Offensive creator, Matt Barzell clone. Connor McMichael, another stud center. And Alexander Kaliev, a goal scorer, what we need. And who do we pick? We pick a guy who's rated the number 90 overall pick. We pick him in the first round. He's in Europe. He can't stay healthy. And that's what we pick. We pick a bunch of grinders. I mean, we're a team. They want to fill in. They figure, well, guess what? We're going to lose Josh Bailey because he sucks so bad. We're going to get rid of him. And we're going to bring in Josh Bailey 2.0, the king of the secondary assist, a perimeter peak, someone who's afraid to go to the net. These are the type of guys that we draft. It makes me sick. God. Taylor, I got to ask you a question. You're the only guy with a beard. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you growing that beard until the Buffalo Sabres make the playoffs?
No.
Okay.
No, well, I don't want to commit to that.
I don't want to commit to that. Maybe we can get you a job with ZZ Top in a couple of years.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, I'd rather not. I mean, I want to keep my options open a little bit in the next decade. All but right. Honestly, I do have to duck out, fellas. It's been great talking to you, and hopefully I can do this again soon.
And we'd love to get you on the Islanders Never Say Die podcast sometime.
All right. Yeah, sounds good.
All right.
Sounds good. All right.
Later, man.
Good night, everyone.
Good to see
expect
you.
More abuse.
And then there now were
if I
five.
Get rid of the, like, if I get rid of the next four of you, I can have the floor all of myself, and then we'll get some real numbers.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. We're not – just out of our social responsibility, we're not going to let that happen.
goodness gracious.
All right, Jeremy. Hit us with the question.
I mean, I think we covered a lot. I think I think that we're kind of approaching the end, unless anybody wants to bring something crazy up that we can talk about. Grumpy, have you seen the new Mighty Ducks show?
I have not seen that, but I'm going to watch it. Is that any good?
No, it's terrible, just like the rest of the shows. Yeah.
Bro, let me tell you something. I saw the original Mighty Ducks movie, the first one. I got a free pass to go see it as a sneak preview. And I remember seeing it. I'm like, oh, look at this. And we also got to see Captain Ron with Kurt Russell. And I was like, oh, this isn't half bad. You know, Emilio Estevez was in it. And you saw Mike Madonna and Gordon McRae in there. And I was like, you know, that's a pretty good movie. Captain Ron, not so good. But, you know, still, it was a fun Saturday afternoon thing. I had a good time. Me and my wife went to go see a free movie. You know, that's the only way I'm paying is if it's free.
Now, did you have to go to a drive-in? Was this during when only drive-ins were available? Or were theaters available at this time?
I've been your 60th birthday?
I've been to drive-in movies, all right? Hey, there's nothing wrong with the drive-in movies. Used to be fun as hell. I mean, they drag us out there. We'd have our pillows. We'd drive in the station wagon. First of all, no seatbelts. Nobody wore seatbelts back then. And you know what us kids did? We piled into the back, you know? Oh. The parents didn't even want us in the back seats. We were all, like, in the back compartment of that station wagon. And we were battling out back there. And, you know, we got out of hand. They just slammed the brakes on. Boom! On that back seat. And I'll tell you what, that calmed us down pretty quick. And the seatbelts, they were always tucked into the back of the seat. Nobody wore seatbelts. What's a seatbelt? This was a seatbelt.
The grumpy old man way. No seatbelts, no helmets.
No seatbelts, no helmets. Let's go.
Pillows
What's
only.
Up with the white hat, Nick? What's up with the white hat?
Hair is doing too hot today, and it's a little chilly in my room, so.
Grump, if that's the case, how often should I wear a hat if he wears a hat when his hair is not doing so well?
Well, when you play as much as you do, I don't think you'll have to worry about the heat.
I was trying to go ahead and set you up there for a bald question, a bald comment.
I'm not going to pick on your hair, TJ. That's what the listeners are for.
Goodness gracious. All love though. Well, I don't know what else there is to mention, guys. I enjoyed getting to go ahead and speak there. I know Grump enjoys getting to go ahead and be feisty with everybody else there, you know, because there's only so much sparring we can do back and forth. So he loves to bring other people on to spar back and forth with.
Yeah. It's exhausting, I'm sure.
For you, I'm sure it is. When you're totally outmatched. I know I'm speaking over your head. I understand. And I got it.
I knew that was coming.
For me, it's just to try out new material. I just toy with you.
Okay.
You know, you're like the little ball and I'm the cat. I just kind of smack you around the whole podcast.
We need to get you on Twitter, Grumpy. You need to get.
I keep on saying I got to get on there. TJ's next is probably a bad idea.
We got to start roasting people on Twitter. That's what we need to say.
Are you allowed to do that?
Oh yeah.
No, it is a bad idea because anything that comes through Grumpy's brain sometimes. I feel like there's always a time period on our podcast where I'm like, oh wow, I really hope he's not going to go ahead and have a crazy take on this one. Most times he does, and I'm just like, oh, just caught shaking my head. You know what I wonder too is how little he knows about the internet. He didn't know what OnlyFans were. So people are asking for a Grumps OnlyFans.
What kind of fans?
OnlyFans.
Only?
OnlyFans, Grump.
I still don't know what they are.
What they are.
Where they take lewd and nude pictures there for money.
Yeah. Oh. Anyone can do it. You can just have.
You can go to those porn sites if you want to see that stuff, right?
Yeah, but these are real.
Yeah, but some people like it to where they pay other people to pose naked, and it's like, hey, they build a relationship. I don't know. People like OnlyFans, and it was a joke. But I wonder about how much you would be exposed to if you had a Twitter, and I kind of worry about that.
My wife is on Instagram. I just found that out today.
There we go.
I don't know. Is that like pictures? I don't know.
Yes, Instagram is pictures, Grumpy Old Man.
I don't know anything about that. I don't have that either. I don't have anything.
Oh well,
I'm too wide open. I'm too wide open. I crashed the internet.
Can we get? Would it be bad if we got Grump on TikTok? Would that be the worst?
Oops.
TikTok. Oh my.
I'll be honest. I'm not even sure. I don't use TikTok all that often. Right. I couldn't even teach him. I mean, like most everything we do technical side, I'm sure as you can imagine, even getting his laptop up and running to where we can use StreamYard the first few times was a little difficult with the grumpy old man.
I'm going to tell you what. I'm looking at the age of you guys. I know. I'm looking at Nick. Nick, how old are you? Like 14?
Just turned 24.
Okay. This shirt is older than you, Nick.
Yeah.
My attire is older than you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's the truth. I don't care. They clothes good back then.
Yeah,
I'm working on the shirts. By the way,
really?
There you go.
That's right. We're releasing some merchandise. Grumpy's Groupies is going to be popular. And I also want another shirt. It just says it's like a silhouette of AJ Molesko with that crazy ass hair, saying "Run a comb through it."
Oh my god!
Now you can replace all of your shirts.
The least you can do is comb your hair.
You can replace all of your old shirts with the new merchandise, and we can expect you to wear that every single time. Because Grump,
I don't want the cheap material that they make clothes with now. Make it out of that refabric ocean plastic. I want cotton. I want five sheep for every shirt.
Five sheep.
I'll try cotton.
Five sheets.
Well, you know, when you get old, your skin gets a little bit more brittle and delicate, and you know, you need to have the finest materials.
Let me tell you something, Walter. What would you know about it, Jeremy? How old are you now?
I'm 30. Well, I just turned 34, I think. Yeah, 87.
Shit, man. You look so much older than that. I can't believe it.
Oh, stop. Stop. You know that's not true. I look at the most 25
years old. I'm just telling you. From my angle, that's why you put yourself on the fuzzy camera. I understand why. I mean, you don't want to show the wrinkles. I got it. I don't care. I got wrinkles. I'm not afraid to show them.
Fair enough.
I think I just got confirmation I'm the youngest person in the network at this point.
Yeah, how old are you, Neil?
There's some real – how old are you again, Neil?
I'm 23.
There's – I forget which one it is from the Sharks guys. I think one of them is 18.
Nick, right?
Or I think so.
Nick's 18. I forget who it is.
No, not Nick.
No, yeah, that's
Nick.
One of them is like 18. So
yeah, no, Nick's gonna roast me now for saying that.
Yeah,
Nick's gonna kill me for saying that now.
The amount of Nicks we have on this damn podcast network.
Nicks, yeah, can we just get like a Nick podcast with just all the Nicks of the network?
It almost happened one of the after hours.
Nice.
It would have to be a diaper. What would you be sponsored by? Like Joe's Diaper Service or something like that? Who's going to sponsor you?
All right, we're at least out of diapers. I mean, maybe like the Training Wheel Factory or something.
Right. Pull-ups. Okay, how about pull-ups? Pull-ups, I'm a little big boy now. I got a podcast now.
Yeah. Funny story, I wore pull-ups till I was like 10. Yeah, I mean, you could wear them for a long time, boys.
Anyway.
My girlfriend told me it was till you were 29.
All right, fine. Fuck. I mean, well, I was trying to downplay it, Grumpy.
But here's the thing. I'm not far from wearing diapers again, right?
You know.
I mean, you know, my time's coming. It's not here yet, but I mean, I'm going to come. You know, here's the worst thing. I don't wear a hat. And if everybody knows, it looks like it's a little crooked. It's not the hat. It's not the expansion stuff. My head is crooked. If I put it on there, it doesn't sit straight. It like always slides over to the side. It's where it's more comfortable.
He took one too many hits without a helmet. So again, proof that you should be wearing helmets, Grumpy. He's got a lopsided head.
Yeah, I still got all my wits about me. What can I tell you?
Bro. You're a lucky one. What can I say?
Imagine if I use caffeine. I'm a total no caffeine too.
Whoa.
See, my hand never shakes.
Grump. I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready to wrap things up here. Grump is starting to get to those hours where he's getting that special type of grump on.
Absolutely.
Can I just say one thing? Like, this, like, Grump is the first person I've met since my father who has this type of, like, attitude, and it's just absolutely a pleasure. And I will say this, TJ, you got to get my dad on your guys' podcast because he's a Devils fan like myself. He hates the Islanders with a burning passion.
Oh, dad fight.
Wednesday, Islanders Never Say Die podcast. If he comes in on the comments, I'm going to guarantee you we're going to talk to him. TJ's getting something we're going to do. We're going to start doing call-in shows. And I want to talk to people like that.
All right,
those are the type of people I want to talk to. Losers like your dad, who are used to playing, who are fans of the Devils.
My dad is older than you, Grump.
So, right? He's rooting for the Devils. He's rooting for a loser right now.
Oh, all right, sick.
I don't mean he's personally a loser.
When was the last time you won a cup? Matter of fact, been in one?
Oh, here we go.
It's been quite a while. You want to start this? While. But here's the thing. We've won four. How many did you win?
Grump, we won four. I have a lot of friends that are Islanders fans, and they don't give me crap. You might be the first person I've met that gives me crap from an Islanders fan.
How many
Islanders
cups
and Devils like fans are supposed to be friends here? We have a same relationship. Yeah, four. All right, we've been in five.
How many did you win?
How many did you win?
We won three and we got screwed in two others.
So, in other words, you won three and we won four. Thank you. I just wanted to have you won. See, that's the one thing with these millennials. They can't answer the question. Stop beating around the bush. I asked you a very direct question. How many cups have you won?
Yes. Three. You have four, we have three.
Thank you. Fair enough. That, there's the end of the argument. Thank you. I rest my case. Boom.
We're having the cups discussion. Where's Taylor when you need him?
I know. And I feel left out. So, fuck you, Horwat.
Lose to Philadelphia in 1975 in the Stanley Cup Finals, where they had to come out in the Buffalo Auditorium in between the games because there was so much fog on the ice, and the guys had to skate around in circles to get rid of the fog.
That was the back game.
Live.
Wasn't that also the back game as well?
Which game? No.
Wasn't that also the game with the bat as well?
I don't think that was in the Stanley Cup Finals.
What was 75? Was what?
That was Buffalo and Philadelphia in the finals.
No, it was. Yeah, there was a situation where there was a bat in the auditorium and one of the players on Buffalo ended up killing it with a stick.
I didn't think it was during the Stanley Cup Finals, though. Maybe it was.
Actually, it was during the Cup Final, yep.
All right. I know because you were there. I understand.
I do my research, Grump.
All right. You were born in what, 1998?
Grumpy, close, he's a published author. Did you know that?
I'm also a published author. I wrote two books.
Oh, he's got him right there. Boom.
Boom, there it is. What a plug. What a plug. Yes.
This one?
Mess. Hey, you know what? My kid brought home one of those little scholastic things that said, hey, pick anything out of these little books for 45 cents each. That's what it is.
And here's this one, too. I got two of them. I had no scrub either.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, good for you. And seriously, good for you.
I know they're written for children, and that's cool, but good for you. I hope you make make a lot of money on it.
Okay, yeah. I'll make sure that the next book I write is about the Islanders. I will send one personally to you, Grump.
That's what I'm looking for. As long as it's free, I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I'll give it to you for free.
Is there going to be a handwritten note and signature, though? That's what we really want to know.
Right. That's the big thing. That's where the Neil signature is the real value of the book comes in, right?
Yeah. Exactly. He wants the personalized touch. He wants the royal treatment. He wants the little note written and the signature.
Oh, no.
Hey, Grump, go fuck yourself.
Every book comes with a personalized touch from yours truly. Grump, you'll get yours.
That's what I want. I'll frame it. I'll have it framed.
Good. I'd like to see that.
Now, did you have to have a ghostwriter for that book, or did you do it mostly on your own?
I did that mostly on my own.
All right. How many pages is it?
Which one? Both of them?
Yeah, add them up together. Does it come like to 100 pages?
Yes. It looked pretty thick.
Both of them are over 120 pages.
Okay.
And there's no pictures back. Either.
Oh, 60, so, okay. I just want to know how many trees you killed.
I'm disappointing you because I don't have any pictures, and I know it's going to be very hard for you to read all of the pages. So
he'll fall asleep.
Is it in the big type?
Yeah, it's got to be like big type, big font.
No, big font. I made it small type just to piss off people. Just to piss off people.
All right. Well, seriously, I'll be looking forward to getting them. And I'll give you a review on it. I really will. Neil's book sucks. Neil's book is the Josh Bailey of the book world.
A lot of people that live on the island are Mets and Jets fans and have actually enjoyed the book. So I'm just saying.
Where do you live? Where do you live, though?
I live in central New Jersey.
I'm just interested why you're writing about the Mets.
You want? Because it's pain, man. Like, they've suffered for so long. Mets fans are suffering. Jets fans are suffering. And I'm not even a Jets fan, as you can clearly see.
He likes to document suffering, apparently.
That's why people like it, because it's not even a Jets fan writing it. I'm not even a Mets fan.
Okay, here's a good story. My grandfather was at the last game when the Mets won the World Series in 1969. And he was one of those people down there yanking up the turf. And I remember he brought a piece of turf home.
Damn.
And we planted it in our backyard.
How long until it died?
It never died. You weren't raising it. It didn't die.
Is there a statute of limitations on that crime? Because I think you just admitted to that's definitely a felony. I mean, right?
Well, he's dead. He's dead. So I'm going to say that the chances of prosecuting him are not nil.
Nil.
But
they're going to charge his estate with the felony, Grump.
Right. All right. Hey,
I had nothing to do with it.
You just said you planted it.
I didn't know.
All right. Anyways, Neil, tell us your podcast. Give us your social media. Plug what you need to. Go for it, man.
All right. Well, I already plugged the book, so I don't got to do that, apparently. But you can follow me on the Devil's State of Mind Twitter at Devil's State, on Instagram at Devil's State of Mind, and also the Facebook page where we post new episodes every Monday and Thursday like everybody else. You can follow my personal Instagram at NVPQB11 and also on Twitter at the NVP Show, THENVPSHOW.
Good shit. Horwat, I guess we'll let you go next.
Yeah, sure. Nick, follow me at NickHorwat41 on Twitter and the show Iceberg at Iceberg Podcast, Tip of the Iceberg, covering the Penguins, obviously every Monday and Thursday as well. And you know what? It's baseball season. Bring on the tanks for the Buccos if you want to talk about real pain. It's going to be a long one.
Can we talk about the fact that right now they're losing in the eighth inning, 3-2 to Cincinnati?
Nice. Oof. Love to see it.
Yeah. Typical. You know, I love the Pittsburgh Pirates. I think that they're the archetype that all of the other Pittsburgh teams should follow. Just absolute dog shit forever. That would make me so happy. But they need to exist just so that everybody can be like, we're just going to come destroy you, and that's it.
Just so there's something to suffer about.
Don't be picking on Nick.
All right, fine. Go, Grumpy, you tell us your Twitter handle and your Facebook and your Instagram and your TikTok and your email address and your social security number, and I'll give you $14,000.
You ready? Right, get ready to write this down as well. There you go. You got it.
Oh, good. Social security number anyway. Of one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It was seven.
What's the OnlyFans account as well?
Yeah, and the OnlyFans.
They didn't go out 9 decimals then. They didn't even go out nine. What was it nine, right? Nine numerals?
Nine numbers.
Yeah.
Nine numbers.
It didn't go out that many. I just like just double digits.
Fair enough.
Goodness, Grumpy. Yeah, you can go ahead and find us. Again, guys, we were mixing things up here today. A little bit of the Islanders action. We're switching things up here a little bit. We are going back to your regularly scheduled programming on Wednesday. Islanders, we got the Washington Capitals tomorrow.
That'll be a win.
Let's go, Caps. Yeah, it will be. You're right. You're right, Grumpy. It will be.
Then you'll be in second place.
And listen, before I get cut off, I just want to let all of your fans especially know that if you're sick of Grumpy and TJ, which, you know, TJ's great, but I don't know about the other one, at Hockey Trolling, at Caps Chirp, and you can, you know, follow the team that's going to be above you in the standings for the rest of the playoffs, or for the rest of the season. Ooh, and into the playoffs.
That's true. I want to say that's true. If you want to listen to a podcast that will put you to sleep, that will give you no knowledge, go to the Hot Control podcast.
You know, the crazy thing is,
I almost listened to it once. Almost.
You know, the crazy thing is, Grump, Tuesday I was having some bad insomnia. If I knew this ahead of time, I would have been able to fall asleep like a baby if you would have told me this ahead of time, Grump. Why are you keeping these secrets from me?
That's what I'm saying. Whenever I need to go to sleep, what's the name of your podcast again, Troll?
At Caps Chirp. At Caps Chirp.
Whenever I want to go to sleep, I don't even take melatonin or sleeping pills. I just put it at Caps Chirp.
Hey,
you know what? Man, I'm asleep. I'm just, an honor.
We had Carl Alsner on a couple weeks ago. Dude's a beauty. We've probably gonna have him on again here soon. We're getting good guest spots, just like you guys. Who's the guy?
We're now Rich Blonde. I mean, like, we're working on getting guests on. I've been slacking a little bit, and I keep promising and overpromising the Grump. I'm working on the shirts. We're getting the equipment in, Grump. You have to believe me. We're getting it all done. It's taking me a little while longer than I had originally anticipated. It's a lot. We're like, Grump wasn't built in a day.
You would be so surprised at how many awesome people will come on your podcast. If you just ask and send a link to like your last episode and just ask over Twitter, I'm blown away by how many people we've gotten to come on. It's crazy. You know,
I got a guess for TJ.
Who's that?
Do you know who Kim Moisa is?
Well, yeah, we're planning on reaching out there to her. Yes. I've got Grumpy's going to wear some lipstick. He
Absolutely.
Said, yeah, we're trying not to give too much.
I'm going
to
put the lipstick on.
Bro, she's my best friend. I can hit her up in 5 minutes, and she'll probably definitely jump on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, definitely, because I'm going to – well, wait. I got to get lipstick. I got to get the blue and the orange lipstick.
Yes.
Jump
I'm not afraid to do anything. I don't care.
Jump on. Grab your stuff off of Amazon, Grumpy Old Man. But here's my question. Do you want to have – I don't know who we should reach out to, Grump, if we're talking about players, especially ex-players.
I know she loves that I pick on her hair.
Bring on Brendan Burke.
I know he's busy during the time period. I know I've got to reach out, Grump.
Why are you not
I'm not doing my
I'm
job.
I'm opening up
this
your
means.
Books, your children's books. I'm trying to get you merchandise, trying to get you to sell things, and you're not helping me out at all.
I need to do a better job, is what it means, Grump.
Quid pro quo, Clarice.
Oh my God! All right. Well. I mean, you're on our feed too here, TJ and Grumpy. So, do you wanna let the Caps fans who are watching know where to find you?
To find us, Islander fans. Oh, what are we, Grump? I don't even remember what our social media handles.
The Islanders Never Say Die podcast.
We're the Islanders Never Say Die podcast. I think it's just Islanders Never Say Die podcast. Honestly, I don't know what the Twitter handle is. I don't know what the Facebook page is.
I dropped off on them. You see.
We just talk about Islanders hockey there.
Yeah.
It's the grumpy old man that sells, and I try to contain him a little bit and try to steer him in the right direction.
We talk
it's all grump.
We,
we might talk about hockey, but we're going to talk about movies. We're going to talk about comedy. We're going to talk about television. We're going to talk about everything under the sun, except for politics. And we're not talking about some, what does it say again? Pain. Pain.
It's J-E-T-S, pain, pain, pain.
Oh, Jets. It's a Jets book. Okay.
It's a Jet. Did you?
his memory is running. Up. It's fleeting.
Jets, pain, pain, pain. My dad had season tickets to the Jets.
Oh, so he knew what pain was all about.
He was there when Namath was quarterback. He took me to one game. One game.
One game.
One game. They were playing the New England Patriots. Joe Capp was a quarterback. I think it was 1971.
Joe from Canada?
Yep, Joe Capp from Canada. And he wound up, wake up over there, troll.
I mean, I can't. You're putting me to sleep, dude.
Yeah, you were probably thinking about what you're going to do on your next podcast, which is sleep. But here's the thing. The old man, he took me to the game, right? Four guys used to go. I guess one of them couldn't go or whatever, so he took me. But here's what he did. He sat me in a seat. He gave me a six-pack of Yoo-Hoo. Then he and the other three guys went up to the top, and they drank beer the whole game. He came back at the end of the game, and it was like, hey, how'd you like the game? Yeah, great, Dad. Thanks. And then we drove home. That was it. And the Jets won.
That's actually a really big shocker.
Yeah. Well, Grump, to end the podcast, we have one request. We need you to sing some Sinatra.
Oh, I did it my way.
And that wraps it up. Thank you so much, guys, for being a part. I'm glad we were able to get this together here, the East Division, talking with some fellow Hockey Podcast Network host of podcasts. We do appreciate it. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in and listening to the live stream. Again, we always appreciate the chance where we get to interact with people who listen to the podcast. I know this is a little different, but we're trying to provide content. We're on the cutting edge of providing excellent content there. We're switching things up occasionally. You know, maybe people like it. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. We'll find out afterwards. Right, Grump?
Well, here's the thing. The longer you keep talking, the quicker they start tuning out. That
much they can't tell. Oh, goodness gracious. Thanks so much, guys.
Sounds like one of the dudes from the Calm app. That's what his voice sounds like right now.
I don't know what the Calm app is, but...
It's the equivalent of what Grumpy Old Man thinks Troll's show is. Puts you to sleep.
It just puts you to sleep, yeah.
Right. That's what it is. TJ is very deliberate, and he's really good at what he does. He's real measured, and, you know... But he can be a real bitch, too. I mean, it's on the Grumpy Old Man... I mean, just not on the show. He wants everyone to think he's cool. And, you know, I'm so this, I'm so that. Where I'm just the way I am. See, that's the difference.
And we
not phony like you, TJ.
Hey, Grump, we wouldn't want you any other way. We would not want you any other way.
Listen, you're not getting me any other way.
I respect that. Yeah, respect the hell out of that.
That is true. Well, thanks so much, guys. Thanks for everybody tuning in.